whenever we're, I'm working, you know, once a year I got to speak on Mother's Day, right? And so whenever I'm working on Mother's Day message, whatever I'm speaking on, I just want to go on into the next thing, so I'm going to try to reel it back tonight for you. But I do want to finish up 1 John, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 21. And I'm going to be reading tonight out of the Passion Translation. I've written you this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you will be assured and know without a doubt that you have eternal life. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before Him. For if we present any request agreeable to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the request that we ask of Him. If anyone observes a fellow believer habitually sinning in a way that doesn't lead to death, you should keep interceding in prayer that God will give that person life. Now, there's a sin that leads to death, and I'm not encouraging you to pray for those who commit it. All unrighteousness is sin, but there's a sin that does not result in death. We are convinced that everyone fathered by God does not make sinning a way of life, because the Son of God protects the child of God, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we are God's children, and that the whole world lies under the misery and influence of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive, so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in Him who is true, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God, and eternal life. So little children, guard yourselves from worshiping anything but Him. Amen. Can anybody tell me tonight what four things there are about God's Word? Anybody? Can you name three things about God's Word? All right, stand up, Cindy. Name me. What you know about God's Word?
It's final, it's non-negotiable, and it's complete.
That's exactly right. It is final, it's complete, which means lacking nothing, and it's non-negotiable. And there's a fourth one, and that fourth one is eternal. God's Word is going to be eternal. When He says it, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. So I know this because His Word is His character, guys. And we've tested His Word. We know who He is. We know His abilities. But I want to ask you something. Even if we know about God's Word tonight, do we really believe this? Let's read this text. In just a minute, it's going to be up on that screen. We're shorthanded tonight. We're all sharing duties. But the text for tonight, I want to talk to you about the privilege of prayer. And the text is from 1 John 5:14, which is from the Passion Translation. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So I'm going to ask you right now, do we believe this? We believe that He answers our prayers. All right? Now I want to ask you something. Can you tell me why prayers aren't answered? It's not God's will. Timing. Selfishness. We ask amiss. Sin, right? Lack of faith. Anything else? That's right. Those are all great answers. But all of your answers are because you love Him. All of your answers is because you have faith to know that if it's not happening, it's because there's a reason. And we can trust Him with that reason, whatever the reason may be. So, sometimes when I meet people that don't trust Him, people that don't know Him, and they're angry because they're not getting answers to prayer, and they always want to blame God. Or there are people who don't know Him, and they've been raised in religion and not the Word of God, and they believe with guilt and shame and condemnation that they've done something that's holding back the plan of God. And I've met people who don't know that Jesus is our high priest, and they don't know that they can have a relationship, and they're saying, well, I've got to wait for somebody else to pray for me or intercede for me. And for a while, I think the national church at large was getting in that way, where we had to go to certain meetings to be healed, or a certain person had to call our name out and prophesy over us. And guys, John is completely telling us over and over that the reason these things are happening is because Jesus loves us, He wants to share truth with us, and He wants to answer our prayers. So here's something I know. I know that God is so gracious that He took time to record in His Word, not just the beauty of who He is, but He recorded the frailty of humanity. He recorded the man who doubted. He recorded the man who had fear. He recorded the woman who was so determined. He recorded about the prophet who failed and ran after the great victory. He loved us enough to record not just everybody who got it right, but even among His own disciples, He gave us the story about the frailty of humanity. Why? So that we could believe that there's hope for us. And we're going to look at that again in just a minute, but I want to go back to someone said the will of God. This has tripped a lot of people up. So we're going to pretend tonight that this sanctuary is like a target, you know, like a, man, here's the outside, here's the inside, and here's where you, the sweet spot. So I kind of see the outside of the sanctuary as those who, you know, say, hey, there's the will of God, it's permissible, it's free, let's just do whatever we want, right? There's grace and mercy, and they use it as an excuse. Instead of being grateful, they use it as a loophole. And I'm going to use that because these are where all your exits are. You know, I'm close to, I don't have to stay in if I don't want to. And some people believe, oh, I didn't hit the target. And some people think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to church, I'm doing certain things, I hope that's good enough, let me just aim for that part. And then there are those who come right down to the sweet spot. And when I say come right down, it's not just that you come on a Sunday, but it's that you're sitting there, and I saw some of you with your hands lifted, and, you know, Dean's back there running sound, and his hands are lifted, and we're getting in that place where we're like, God, here it is, being with You. And so no more is the will of God this tiny place that, I hope I hit it, I hope I'm praying right. But because of His Word and His Spirit alive in us, we can know that we are praying and that we're not praying amiss. So John's main theme for the whole book has been the light. He said he's the light and there is no darkness in Him. He has said that He is the love, that He is an eternal love, that He's always in love with us. And now He's begun to talk about the life of Jesus. When you're cemented in who He is, He can bring such life to us. So I want to reread to you tonight from the first chapter in John, because he's going back, and I think verses 3 and 4, again, out of the Passion Translation, just really put together what the whole book, what the purpose was. So we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. We are writing these things to you because we want to release you to your fullness, to our fullness of joy. In other words, he's not just talking down to him. He's saying there's something we've got that you can have. Listen, that's who you want to be partnering with. People who aren't like, well, I've got this and I hope one day you can accomplish, or I've studied this much, or I have these degrees. And, you know, Steve finally he just asked me to take his degrees down. And he's like, you know what? I got so many degrees in here, I look like a thermometer. And if you've ever seen his office at the fire station, one wall was just covered with certificates and degrees from all the things he's gone to learn about the training that has to be done. And he felt that that was intimidating people when they walked in and they felt like they weren't adequate. Well, I wanted to use this particular thing because I want to show you tonight. I think some people are nervous about the Word of God. Well, that's for you, Gay. You can understand the Word of God. While it may be true that I'm a lot older than some of you, I want you to know that I would say the bulk of my learning the Word of God was between the time I was 16 and I'll say 36. Because those were the times where I felt like I needed Him and I was digging stuff out. And when you first come to the Lord, you're so hungry for the Word. Use that. And that's why so many times I have to go back to the King James and put in search words to find the scripture I'm looking for. Do you see me typing at you? Because I don't know it in the new translations, but that's where I studied. So I have to go there to find it, and then I'll read it in a different translation. And in doing this, I wanted to show you a couple of things. Some of you, if you have footnotes in your Bible, I want you to kind of understand that those footnotes are put there to explain something a little deeper. So while, yes, we have a beautiful woman's Bible study right here, a beautiful men's Bible study right here on Monday nights. We come Wednesday night. We're going straight through the Bible. We're going through it because I want you, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be able to say, Christian Center took me through the Word. Every Sunday when you come, what are Steve's slides? The Word. Right? Because we want to know it, but I don't ever want you to be in a place where you're intimidated. So I'm going to tell you tonight, the Passion Translation, while I don't know that there's a Bible out yet on it, if you go to www, this isn't the World Wrestling Federation, if you go to www.biblegateway.com, it has this translation. But I'll let you know it's only Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament so far. But like the Message before, it'll come out. And I'm just using this because they've gone back to the original scriptures, the original scrolls that have been found, and they're recording this straight off of it. So here's what he says about fellowship. And again, you're going to be able to go to Bible study, and you're going to, when you read these things, you're like, well, fellowship, that's the Greek word koinonia, and it means like partnership and like a true friendship, and yeah, right? So I want you to have that information because I want you to be able to. You can go to www.blueletter.bible, blueletterbible.com, and when you go there, not only in the concordance can you look at it, but it'll line up all the different translations. But what it'll also do on the concordance, it's got a, looks like a little microphone thing, and you hit it, and it will actually pronounce the word for you in Greek or Hebrew, and you can read its meaning right there. I'm telling you this because I want you to become confident. Tonight is about confidence because we have a privilege to be called to prayer, and I want you to have that kind of confidence about it. I want you to know the word. Because it may be intimidating to some of you, but the truth is, He wants to release you to the fullness of joy. So John is giving you like the choice bits. He's sharing with you the good news. So what are the five books that we know John wrote? Right. Very good. So now I want to ask you, we're going to look down at verse 14. Why doesn't God just do what He wants? I mean, if He's God and we're not, and He knows what's good for us, why doesn't God just do what He wants? Right? Why does He even need us to pray? Well, verse 14 says, since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before Him. For if we present any request agreeable to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we also know that we've obtained the request we asked of Him. So, why does God not just do what He wants? Because more important than getting something done is getting something done in us and through us. That's love. Did you ever have a parent or a teacher who just They were just impatient with you, and instead of getting something done through you, training you, teaching you, being patient with you, they're just like, give me that. And they just go over and handle it. Steve always said that that's why he doesn't know how to work on cars or do anything, because he was always a burden to his dad. Look, just go on. Let me handle this. Let me do this. And so he's ignorant in that. Well, my father ran a parts store. He sold tires. We sold furniture. We sold everything. And my dad was like, girl, get out here. We're changing tires today. Right? So it was a difference. But your heavenly father is giving us the opportunity not just to know the word, but to experience it, so that I'm going to have a reference point on something, which Revelation 8 says, how do we overcome? Two things. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So I'm going to have a testimony to know this was a hard time, he helped me through it. Or you're going to have a testimony, and when I'm going through it, you're going to be able to say to me, you know what? There will be an end to this, girl. And when there is, you're going to know him better. We were just talking about this in staff today, because the goal of every believer is that we encourage one another and help each other grow up. We want to grow up and mature. I do not give soft pillows, and I do not give color televisions, and I don't give you video games if you're in the ditch. If you've fallen in a ditch, I'm going to come in that ditch with you, but you and I are coming out. And I may have to give you a pillow to step up on. I may have to keep my arm around you and keep to, come on, we can, oh, look, oh, it's getting brighter, oh, let's keep moving. But the goal is to get out of these places and to get whole, so that when the next person's in the ditch, I got someone with me where we can go and say, come on, let's just get out of it. Let's grow up. Is there anybody in here who enjoys a victim? Please. Anybody? You just enjoy somebody that is still talking about what happened to them 30 years ago, and they're still wanting you to console them and to have pity on them. Listen, pity has no power, but prayer has an eternal, perpetual power where we can grow up and move forward. I don't want you to be a victim. I want you to be a victor. But the truth is, until we pray and release that pain to God, there's nothing you and I are going to do. It has to be His Word, and it has to be Him. And I still believe it's because He doesn't just say, well, that's that and that's it. Hey, you kids, get out of my way. You know? He said, don't, in Matthew 19:14, he said, hey, it's the little ones I want to come to me. It's the childlike faith. The older adults were like, get them away, because, you know, we got time. They're just bothering us. And there were these parents or people, probably women, because they were looked down on at that point, who were saying, come lay hands on my child. Come. And it was like, oh, we don't have time for these kids. And Jesus said, no, because they're the great ones. That's who the kingdom of heaven is made of. And I don't want you shooing them away. I want to go to them. And he went and touched them. And then he went on to the next thing. So whatever our level of maturity, don't worry about that. Just worry, if you will, that you've wasted so much time. And then even if you've wasted time, who's your redeemer? Does he just redeem this situation, or can he not redeem time? Thank you, you faithful ones. So if you're not sure, you know, why he does these things, why is it? Why does he wait for us to ask then? He wants to do something through us, but why is he waiting for us? If you're not sure of the why, I want to tell you something. I'm not sure I know the why when I'm a mess. I'm not sure I'm a why. You know, why does he wait on me when I'm not waiting for him? Why does he wait for me because I got stuck back here? Why does he wait for me when I, tell the truth. When I'm listening to the devil about, oh, this is how this is going to end up. Oh, don't worry. Oh, don't you see that coming? Oh, Nuna, you better flee. God's not helping you. But am I alone? No. the enemy wants to separate us from the help. So we say, well, why does he want to use me? I'll tell you why he wants to use you. Because he's still recording in someone else's life about our frailty so someone else can have faith that there's hope for them. We have the privilege to petition by prayer. We have the privilege to praise in our prayer. We have the privilege to persevere in our prayers, but we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. So when he taught about prayer, what's the first thing he said? You know the Lord's Prayer. What did he say? Our Father. He's like, you need to recognize that this is someone who has bought you. This is someone who has created you. This is someone who has his blood. He has his power flowing in you. You got his DNA. And then what does he say? Our Father. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Don't worry. I see some of you like, ooh, look that up real quick. Here's the thing. I think he says, our Father who art in heaven, because sometimes the proud think that because of their works, they've got more effect on heaven and recognize that we're still earthbound than those who recognize, you know what? He's God and I'm not. Anybody else got bruises from getting kicked off the throne? That's all I'm saying, right? So he knows, but I have to keep that perspective of who he is, and that's why Jesus was telling them how to pray. First, remember, he's your Father. He's not your genie. This isn't a wish. This isn't a birthday cake. Been good enough, the taskmaster. No, the evil one is the one who puts that on you. But he is a loving Father. I know some of you may not have had loving fathers. That's why we need to study the Word and know who our dad is. Because I'm telling you, not just is he faithful, but he is patient. And people always act like God's getting tired of this, God's tired of that. God doesn't get tired. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. And the only reason I can tell you that is, one, because I know his Word, and two, because he's proven it faithful to me. When Leah, our granddaughter, was 3 years old, she always kept, you know, Lady and the Tramp. She slept with Lady. She ate with Lady. And Gemma Joy, who's now 3 and Leah's 13, is doing the same thing. I don't know what it is about Lady Dog. But one day, I asked Leah Evans, I said, Leah, what is there about Lady that you just love? And she said, oh, honey, when I sleep, Lady keeps her eyes open all night. And I thought, how beautiful, because the dog couldn't close its eyes. It's stuffed, right? But it gave her, listen with spiritual ears, it gave her a confidence that someone beside her was watching over her all night. Don't you think your heavenly dad's a little bit better than a stuffed dog? Don't you know that you can have that same peace? It gives me such peace to know that he's with me. And I don't care how this sounds to you, but there are times, Miss Linda, when I'm, you know, like, oh, God, I see this coming, especially, you know, when you want it so bad for someone else. You just want it so bad for them. And sometimes I just get like, ugh, and I'll just reach over and I'll just say to myself, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. My body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, he ain't looking for the beautiful one because that one's gone. So, Lord, I just want to thank you right now. But because you're in me, I will just hold my own hand and just pretend he's holding my hand. And something warm and comforting comes over me because he lets me know I'm not just out here, I'm in you. We're together. This is going to happen. There is that pattern for powerful prayer, and it's when people say what he's promised. Every time there was a powerful prayer in the Word, somebody is saying what he promised. Now listen. God didn't need a Bible study lesson. I don't need to go in there and remind. He's not forgetful. He's not the Ancient of Days, and that means he's forgetful. What that means is I'm coming into that place where I'm getting in agreement with him. I don't think God needs a business partner, but I think he needs a testimony. And I think he wants to use us so that while he flows through us, the power and the encouragement is coming for us. So when you're tested again in something and it's, oh, well, will God, you know, man, God, I just remember. And this, listen, this, sometimes I'll pray this, you know, Lord, I remember, you know, for those of you who say, you know, well, I'm bad with money. He can't deliver me financially. Know the word. And I would say to him, well, God, I remember that prodigal son who got his inheritance and he went off and he just spent it, you know, on everybody, pate. You know, he had this whole thing going and women and whatever he did, and he ended up eating out of the pig trough. But God, even he had enough sense to return to you. So, Lord, if there was hope for him, I'm asking hope for me. And double hope, because he didn't have Jesus and I do. So I'm calling out on the provision of heaven, Lord, because I know according to your word, you're gracious. Lord, I know according to your word, you're good. Lord, I saw those reports where people were down to their last dime and went to the store and somebody paid for their groceries or whatever. God, I'm just asking for mercy over this. Show the enemy, God, for me. Give me the testimony that you're greater than what I'm hearing in my head. Well, you know, Lord, there's this person. They're just a real rat. There's no two ways about it. They don't deserve to go to heaven. And you have to say to yourself, neither do I. And then you say, Lord, you know, is that who you're talking about in this scripture? Just, you know, quit praying for them because they don't believe? No, no, no. I want to tell you something. There's hope for the rats, because his word says that it is not his will that anyone should perish, but what? That all should come to repentance. He wants us all. Guys, why do you think he's waiting? Why do you think he hadn't come back? For those of you who weren't here in the Revelation study, I'll tell you. Because he's waiting. He's going to shake up this world to realize that who the evil one is. He's waiting for the Jewish people to find out who he is when we're gone up there. And we're not here anymore, and they're going to have to call out to him, because the man they think is going to rebuild the temple and be all that is going in, and he's a liar, and he's the Antichrist, and it is to wake up Israel, and it's to make up the kingdom. It's to make up his bride. My mom used to describe this to me, because she sewed, and when she was working on things, she said, oh, you see how we're putting this together? And if she was crocheting something, she'd take squares, and she would do things and make it get bigger and bigger. She'd say, this is just how it is with the bride of Christ. Every time a soul gets saved, it's just getting bigger. And one day, this beautiful train, when he says he's coming back and the train filled the temple, she'd say, that's all the saints we're going to fill. And I'd just be like, wow. I still believe that to this day. He wants to make up the kingdom. He wants to wake up Israel, shake them up, and to make up the rest of that kingdom. Because there's people that have great value from their testimonies. So here we are. I don't want to come in. I don't want to shine God on. I don't want to give him a Bible lesson and say, well, your word says. He doesn't need me to give my opinion. I'm not the architect of heaven and earth. But what he does need me to do is get in agreement that he can do it. Any of you work for a boss and you doubt that you're going to get paid every week? Our staff, don't raise your hand. I knew it. The doubter in the back. Y'all go lay hands on him. Here's the thing. You don't doubt it because you are confident and comfortable that there's work going on, and that person who's in charge has the capability to look out and is going to take care of those paychecks and is going to keep the utilities on. You don't even be concerned about it. Don't you think God's better than the smartest businessman on earth? We need to recognize this is a privilege. And if it hasn't happened, as most of you shared your view of why it hasn't, it's because we know that it's his mercy holding back something I couldn't handle, or it's a timing waiting for something else to happen. Because I do believe this too. I believe that other people can hinder what God is doing because of their choices. But if you stay faithful to God, Listen, God can go around, he can go under, he can go over, he can go through whatever blockage there is, but he's still waiting on those people to love him the way you do. And maybe our patient time of waiting is showing them what real unconditional love is instead of getting on a gripe train with them. I want you to know that he's a good father. You don't need someone with more faith than you. We need to use the faith that we have. So I remember when I was young, and believe it or not, I was always very, very skinny, and I was always very sickly because I was skinny. And they had to give me this Geritol stuff because, you know, I was like, I had to bill your blood. I was always a little tiny. And so I would go to work with my dad at the store, and my older brother, he was 6 years older than I was, so while he was in high school and I was in elementary, we both had to go to the store and work. So we would go to the store, and I remember when we got home, it wasn't done. I had to do whatever. My dad was never an idle man. So when we got home, there was projects to do, and after we finished the projects and he got to eat and go to bed, my mom and my two sisters had me on the kitchen rotation, right? But I remember one day my dad was going to add on to our carport, and he had put these wooden planks down. And he gets this man who's, he's mixing up cement himself in a wheelbarrow. Y'all with me? And so he comes out. He comes in the house. Girl, well, ain't nobody else moving but me. I knew who that was. He's like, girl, get out here. And my mom went to the door. She said, oh, you can't have her doing that. She's little. She can't do that. She's going to get hurt. A little girl shouldn't be doing that kind of work. And he said, girl, get out here. Well, that was the end of it. And I went out. My dad said, we're going to make some footings. You know what a footing is? I was like, no, sir. That's how you talk to my dad. And I said, no, sir. He said, well, here's what it is. We're going to put cement between these two things, and I'm going to take this wheelbarrow, and I'm going to go along here, and I'm going to start shaking this cement in here. And then when it gets down, you're going to do it. And then I'm going to go mix some more. And when we're done, he said, when I'm done with this, you're going to go back with this other piece of board, and you're going to go across the top of those two, and you're going to smooth it out. All you smart people know what I'm talking about, y'all. Hardworking people. So he says, you're going to go through, and you're going to smooth this out. And he said, it doesn't take a lot of strength to do what I'm asking you to do, but it does take some patience, and it's going to take you doing it over and over. And I was like, yes, sir. So I got that, and I was going between those two things, and I just shoved. He said, girl, get it moving. And I'd start moving that more, and then I'd go back and I'd see something and I'd go back and do it again. He said, that's right. That's right. Keep looking. But I want to tell you something. It was love for my father that kept me going, because I wanted to please him. Not because he demanded it from me, but we had this love relationship that all my dad never once told me thank you for helping. My dad didn't pay me for doing that because I was eating at his table and I was at his rent. But what my dad did is this. When I was done, he'd go. I'd be like, man, that was special. And I wanted that special. And I would go do that. And once I finished and I got it all done, I'd say, Dad, I need a little more over here. Okay, all right. He'd bring a shovel full and fill it, and we'd go over it. He'd say, now go back and pick that up on the side and put it back in the wheelbarrow. We don't want that on the ground. And when it was all done, Dad would go over and he'd say, okay, now you can put your fingerprints in this, or you can put some little initials. Don't get carried away, girl, whatever it was. But when he built on that, I knew what was under it was my name, because I built it with my dad. But what my mom didn't understand was the consistency, the continual doing that over and over, built strength in me. So the next task, I had the strength. Even though I had the skinny arms, I had the strength, because I could do it, because I knew out of consistency. And I'm telling you, when you trust God and you are consistent in your prayers, not because you have to, not because he's a demanding taskmaster, but God, I love you. I want to see you answer this prayer. God, I want to see a change in their life. God, I'm believing for this nation. Lord, wasn't it Lot who got you down to, if I can just have two people who believe? Wasn't it Lot who kept bringing it down, God? Then I'm asking you, God, surely just in our church alone there's more than two. God, you can change the tide. It's not too late. And I go back to His Word to water my prayer because I've seen His faithfulness. And I got Jesus now. They didn't have Him. Man, He's so faithful. You come in and I want you to know what possible reason you may still be asking. Do I have to believe He wants to answer my prayers? What possible reason can you give me that He wants to help me? What possible reason can you share with me that I can believe I'm in His will? Because the will He has is His Son Jesus. And a will doesn't come into effect until somebody dies. And you got a Savior that died for you and your inheritance, and that will has come to full fruition. And boy, He wants to work something in you. He's a good, good Father. Verse 18 says, "We are convinced that everyone fathered by God does not make sinning a way of life, because the Son of God protects a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch." That word in parenthesis, I define that for you, is seize and detach or possess. He cannot touch. He cannot poke on you. He cannot touch you. And you're like, wow, you know, well, I hear these things and I've seen these people and these people said, forget it. Forget it. He clearly says that the Son of God protects the child of God. You got to know who your Father is. If I'm believing in Him, I believe He's my Father. I believe Jesus is God. I believe the Holy Spirit is God. I liked what Steve said Sunday. You can't have a sick spirit. You can't have a weak spirit. You can't have a hurt spirit, because the Spirit is God. Your soul, where your mind, your will, and your emotions are, yeah, we're going to need some healing and correction. But if I stay in tune to the Word of God and remember the character of who's behind it, I'm going to trust Him because He's my Father. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. But some of us come in here and we've seen these things where people go, oh, the devil, you better watch out. I heard this thing on TV, you know, where these paranormal things happen and they're real. They got it on camera. Paranormal ain't going to happen to you, because He's already told you, you ain't normal. He's already said, we're aliens in this world. It ain't going to happen to you. And when, you know, I remember when I was young, this girl had told us all these stories about demons. Hey, they're real. Demons are real. But just take that off your plate. That's not for you. But she told us about these demons and how, you know, these eyes came in the room and they bound it and cast it out or whatever. And we're in the church kitchen and we're washing dishes and we finished this one and the dishes settled in the sink and every one of us just went crazy. Why? Because more fear is built on those stories than faith. Get in there and say, ooh, there was this kid and he was throwing himself against the rocks and he was just beat up from just the tormenting he was going through. And you know what? Jesus went in and said, shut up and come out. And that was the end of it. So what should I say? Shut up and come out. And thank you, Jesus, because you made a way. Right? I'm not going to listen to this stuff. And we're wasting our time. But your time is your worship. Who am I giving my worship to? Who am I giving credit to? I need to be giving it to the good, good Father. Guess what? That consistency and that desire to love Him and to know Him as a good, good Father is building a confidence in me, because when I'm worried, it's okay. I'm not going to go to hell because I worry. And people are, ooh, worry's a sin. Well, sure it is. So's judgment. Let's put it on and figure out who's the better sinner, right? I don't have time for this. I want to tell you what. I go back to the Bible and I say, Lord, I remember when Jezebel and all the rest of them, and he killed them, and the water was put, and he heard Jezebel's coming after him, and he went and hid under the little bush, and he got scared, and he just saw all those miracles. God, if you can do that for somebody like that, you can do it for me. God, there's the man in Mark, you know, said, Lord, I believe, and he wasn't even a Christian. He didn't go to church. He didn't tithe. He wasn't raised with a spirit-filled grandma praying for him. But he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Listen, God's not afraid for me to say, I'm having trouble believing the whole thing, God. Prayer may not change others the way I want, but it'll change me to what God wants for me. And what he wants us to have is fellowship and joy. That's what the whole book was about. That's everything he's telling you, is to continue in your fellowship and joy. That's on the last slide, and I'll repeat it for you. Prayer may not change others the way I want, but it will change me to want what God wants. That's at the bottom of your notes. And I want to encourage you with something. There's joy in his presence. Sometimes you're burdened, and you know what? You just may need a good cry. Sometimes you're worried about, is this going to happen for me? And you may just get in there and just say, hey, you know what's in my head. Let me just say it out loud and get it out of my heart. Get it out of my soul so I can hear what I'm saying. But whatever time you spend saying it out loud, you should open your Bible and read it out loud too. Because he's got a word for you, and you don't have to wait for the prophet, and you don't have to wait for the man on TV, and you don't have to wait for the guy who, you know, drives up with the entourage to come in and pray for you, because he knows more of the word of God than you do. Because I'm going to tell you something, the experience that goes along with the word of God is worth more to heaven than the printed word ever was. Because he says he records these in a book of remembrance. Oh, I remember that time, Tabitha Mann. I remember that time she was standing between two decisions and the enemy was bearing hard on her. Oh, write that down. Tabitha went with me. Write that down. And you don't think that's true? Then why do you think that in Luke 22 he said to Peter, who he's going to build the church on, he said, Peter, Satan has come to accuse you. Well, I'm getting into Sunday morning now. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And he's like, oh, Lord, I won't. But Jesus went on to say, and after you've fallen, when you come back to repentance, still going to be here. And he told him before it happened. Listen, I want to tell you that it should be a comfort to everyone in this room that I can go to him and say, Lord, you called him Simon, because he forgot who he was in you. But it didn't matter. He knew my old nature, and he knows your old nature, and he's still interceding to the Father for you and me, saying, you know what, Christina, I want you to make it. Come on, Red. I want you to make it. And I'm believing for you, and he's praying for you that you're going to be tempted, but it's not him. It's the enemy. Because remember, John told us, in him there is no darkness. And if anybody says he's mean, he's evil, you have to do certain things or he won't love you, you've got his word. Oh, no, 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 that, there is no darkness in him. He's not spinning a story just to get you to love him. He's loving you when you are spinning the story. Stand with me tonight. We're going to start 2 John next week. But I want to just pray for you right now. And those of you who just, you're really saying, you know what, I'm wavering on some stuff. I want you just to lift your hands right now. We're just going to cover you in prayer. There is no shame in that. Love just reaches out and says to him, God, guys, if there's anybody we can be honest with, it's him. Lord, I'm just coming to you tonight. There's a load that I'm carrying. I can feel it on me physically. I will not agree with the world that this is going to make me sick physically. I will not agree with the world, God, that I've got to trust do something different, that I need to forget this gospel stuff. Father, I want you to know this is the time I'm going to press in, and my test will become my testimony. Lord, that this trial, I'm going to get a not guilty verdict in front of the whole world. That, Lord, at the end of this, what I don't have and you provide is going to give hope to others. God, I speak life over me because you live in me. You're the living word and you live in me. I speak life to these bones. I speak life to these muscles. I speak life right now, God, over Joyce Renfro. I speak life over Wesley Sperry, God. I speak life over Christine Merle. I speak life over Nell Demeter, God. You said they took the roof open and let them down. By faith tonight, we're opening the roof and letting down valiant warriors that we need, Dave and Dee Dee Roberts, to be working. We believe for them, God. But Lord, I believe that there's not a person I bring to you that you don't touch me to. And I just thank you right now, Father, that you are touching us and you are breaking off fear right now. That peace and rest is going to come. That you are going to show and give wisdom through your word. God, that we're going to have the ability now to not be in a hurry and not to worry, but to scurry into your lap. Victory tonight, God. Lord, victory. And I just thank you, Father, that even the real rats, there's hope for them, God. And there's hope for our nation because you're still alive and you're never going to die. And neither am I. And neither are those in here because we love you. And we thank you for that, Father, tonight. Let confidence arise, God. And through this, Lord, let me have some spiritual muscles so I can accomplish what you want me to accomplish for my family, what you want me to accomplish for this church, God, what you want me to accomplish for this city, God, what you want me to accomplish, Lord, at the grocery store. Give me the strength, Lord, to show you and lead people to you the way you have been kind to me. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Now, tomorrow night at 6:30, if you come to the office doors, there's a class, a free class on intentional health. It's not a diet. It's a way to live. People are already seeing the benefits.